This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Australia's only LGBTIQ+ national news and current affairs show. Proudly sponsored by KHQ Lawyers. Passionate about being the best.
It's an enormously important time here for us at Joy 94.9. We've got an AGM this weekend and we've just launched the Joy Nation fundraising campaign. Joy's new CEO, Ange Barry, took some time out of her busy schedule to sit down with our executive producer, Toby Halligan.
It's a delight and a pleasure to welcome the CEO of Joy, Ange Barry, here to The Informer. Ange, thank you so much for taking time out of your ridiculous schedule to join us.
It's a pleasure, Toby. Thank you for the opportunity to chat to The Informer and to chat to you.
Yeah. There's been so much going on right now with Joy Nation, and obviously there's the Joy AGM as well coming up on the 20th of October. But one thing I kind of wanted to try to do was to give people a sense just to how much has actually been going on by kind of going through like the last couple of weeks, not in an invasion. Overly detailed kind of way, but just to get a sense of everything that you've been doing, you know, like a fortnight in the life of Ange Barry, if you like, just to kind of give, you know, Joy's members and listeners a sense of how you keep a station like Joy on the air and everything that goes into that.
Yeah for sure. So, I'd be delighted to share that.
Yeah.
perhaps I'll put some context around it in that I'm in the first 8 weeks of my time in the role as CEO of Joy. So the beginning of any role, of course, is quite busy. There's that learning stage, there's the getting to know everybody stage, and then there's the understanding where are we at as an organisation. So a lot of my work, even in as most recently in the last 2 weeks, is I guess addressing and acting on priorities that I've learnt about in the last 2 months. So a typical week or 2 weeks for any CEO is really a mixture of working with what I would call the strengths and assets of an organisation, number one being the people, and the people of Joy are amazing. And we have so many terrific volunteers. We have a very tiny paid team, and all those people make Joy a success. So a lot of my time is spent meeting with people, talking with people about where our priorities are at the moment, but also most importantly, looking at a vision for Joy. And part of my role is to articulate that vision, work with the board around, where do we want to go as an organisation and what do we need to do to get there. So we've started having lots and lots of discussions around a concept which is publicly out there known as Joy Nation, Build Joy Nation. Joy Nation is a concept, I guess, that really sums up the strategic direction of Joy. I personally articulated it into Joy Nation, but there's nothing new as far as, you know, where Joy wants to go as an organisation. But perhaps there's now a little bit more of a sense of urgency around that. And that sense of urgency comes from the fact that Joy is very much feeling the financial pressures of change that's happening in both the community media sector and also in the not-for-profit sector. And the changes basically are this. A lot of not-for-profit groups like Joy that have started as member-based organisations have really survived on the goodwill of members, the goodwill of volunteers, the goodwill of staff, the goodwill of donors. And what we're finding is that we now need to be able to stand on our own two feet partially, not entirely. We always will want our donors. We always will need our members. We always need our volunteers and staff. But we also need to look at what we do as a group of people and how we can generate some income ourselves for Joy Nation, for Joy as a community media organisation through the day-to-day work we all do. So it's a bit like we need to pay our own way to a certain extent. Now, never to the full extent, because a community organisation should quite rightly have a range of funders around the table. Some of those will be the people working in the organisation, the volunteers, the staff. Some will be the donors. Some will be philanthropy. Some will be government. Some will be corporates. So Joy Nation is all about bringing that together around the services that Joy provides. Joy's traditionally been known as a community radio station. We now need to think about the fact that we already podcast and do exceptionally well in that space. We need to look at ourselves as perhaps a multimedia platform, because in reality, the internet and the ability to stream has really shifted us from solely being a community radio station. So a name like, or a concept like Joy Nation, sends a message out to the broader world that perhaps we're a bit more than a community radio station. Perhaps we're a community of interest that shares knowledge, has a great message to tell, brings people together and supports our community, but also builds a more inclusive Australia by educating the broader Australian community.
And what does, like, so with Joy Nation, what does it look like in, say, a year, 2 years, 5 years?
Yeah.
Like, what is your kind of vision for how that would manifest itself, you know, and build?
Yeah, sure. I think a few things. The one we're working on right now is providing services to workplaces around social inclusion and diversity. So we're working with several corporate clients right now to create podcasts, for instance, where their community or their staff team can actually learn from members of the rainbow community what it's like to work in a big corporate as a transgender person or as, you know, a lesbian, gay, bisexual, intersex person. And it's really all about bringing each other, you know, bring people into our world and sharing our stories. So that is a service that we see can be of enormous benefit to workplaces around not just Victoria but Australia in particular, because it's the sort of work we can also do remotely. It looks like things like Joy delivering training, for instance, to not only Joy members and Joy broadcasters but also other people that would like to come to Joy and learn voice skills, public speaking skills, interviewing techniques, just like you're doing now, Toby. And that's just a couple. That's just a couple of examples. We'd also like to look at how our website can become a connector for our community, not just around streaming, but also the information that we could put up from our shows, the content that we, you know, are collecting through our shows, which is phenomenal, as you know, and capturing perhaps in even written form that people can access. In addition to that, promoting even further our podcasting, because our podcasts are terrific. So I'd love to see even more people coming to the website to access podcasts. They're just a few minor ideas, but the reality is the majority of ideas will come from our volunteer and staff group, because we're working, you know, face-to-face every day doing this, and there's people who have been at Joy a lot longer than I have that will have brilliant ideas, and we'd love to get everybody together and hear those ideas and look at, you know, how we can do what we already do but in a way that can help us pay our bills.
And so, like, I think it'd be great to kind of get a sense of what, say, like 2 weeks in the life of Ange Barry looks like. Can we
Sure.
kind of unpack, you know, your schedule, if you like?
Yep, absolutely. So having a look at the calendar, to give you an idea, a lot of the work I've been doing is things like writing funding applications. So writing a lot of grant applications. So I spend probably 30 to 40% of my time in the last 2 weeks looking at funding and how we can secure funding. So that will be meeting with government officials, putting together project plans, submitting grant applications to, say, corporates or to philanthropic organisations. So I've done quite a bit of that in the last 2 weeks. The second part would be relationship building and building the awareness of Joy. So, for instance, last week we you would have heard, listening to Joy, we gave away an enormous number of passes to the Judy premiere. Mm. So I went along to greet those people and particularly some of our key supporters who were there on the night to thank them for the support they're giving us. And that was also a celebratory moment for those people who won the tickets. And so it was really my pleasure to be a part of that. I've spent time in the last 2 weeks meeting with patrons of Joy. So patrons are really important, not only in our history of Joy, but in our future as well. Mm. So I've had probably 4 or 5 hours worth of meeting with several patrons and looking at how we can engage their support again to help Joy in this strategic direction of building Joy Nation. I was very lucky to be present at the Globe Awards and see one of our terrific shows, Chicks Talking Footy, pick up an
Such
award
good
there.
Show.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, that was terrific. That was Friday night at the Regent Ballroom, and that was an amazing experience for me personally because it was my first time at the Globe Awards, and to see Joy represented there so well. And so professionally was terrific. So we had that moment. We also, I also work on reporting to the board, which is really important for any CEOs to keep the organisational strategic leadership engaged. So I've been writing a board report, Toby, and that takes quite a few hours. Not the most thrilling aspect of being a CEO, but a very, very important one. Yep. So there's been quite a bit of work done on that one in the last week. We always have after hours type and weekend type engagements. And for a CEO, it's very important. It sends a very clear message that leadership is representing the organisation. So there's a few of those last week and there will be this week as well. So to give you an example, Midsummer have done an early community launch of their festival where there's a bake-off, which they invited me to be a judge of a bake-off in Richmond on the weekend.
That's
so
a bit of a perk.
It's
some
a bit of a
perk.
Yeah, it is a bit of a perk. I saw some fantastic cakes, I have to say, and got to pass opinion on those.
Do you get to taste the cakes?
Most of them you get to taste.
Oh, good. I was going to say, because if it's just a visual thing, you know, like it's, I mean, that would be nice, but it's, yeah.
Absolutely.
You want to taste them.
Definitely got to taste them. We've had a few.
Can you reveal which cake won, or we're not spoiling something here?
No, we're not spoiling it. The cake that won was this beautiful, absolutely stunning cake. We didn't get to taste it, so I can't tell you, I can't tell you the flavour of the cake, but it was a tall, black, if you can imagine, which sounds quite exotic, sprinkled with gold sort of sparkles, and it had a beautiful bouquet of roses, all of which were made through icing sitting on the top. So blood red, velvety roses, green leaf work, the gold sort of.
This sounds
sparkle.
Like a super professional. Were these professional cake
that
makers?
One was.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That I know,
sounds
that
like
one, yeah.
a work
yeah,
of
yeah,
art.
Yeah, yeah. it was absolute. They were all a work of art. We had some very interesting cakes here, I have to say. So, yeah. So that was really fun, and it was nice to be able to represent Joy because Midsummer is a very important partner of ours, and we're looking forward to being part of Midsummer festivities both at Carnival and during the Pride March as well. Yeah. So that was a kickoff there. Mm. Still going in that 2 week period, a couple of board subcommittee meetings in the evenings, which is really really important. You know, again,
that's probably a part of Joy that people aren't necessarily aware of, that the sheer kind of level of administration required to keep it on air does mean that you have, you know, experts or people with specialised knowledge who have to spend a lot of time working things through and volunteering,
most
like their time to kind of unpack stuff.
Yeah, most importantly, Toby, an organisation like Joy has over 300 volunteers, and I said before, a small paid staff of five, not even really five full-time when you add it up, but and all those people work extremely hard. A lot of it's after hours, and of course a lot of our volunteers have daytime jobs, if you like to call it that, or other work. So people are going above and beyond to make this organisation function, and often pretty much most of our board type committee type work is happening in the evenings. Of course, most of our events, we've got one coming up on the weekend, Northside Bazaar. Now, if that will be, a fantastic event. Yeah. That's on Saturday. That's obviously something that, we really is important for Joy because it's a fundraiser. We've got this weekend, we've got our AGM then on the Sunday, and we've also got a presenters meeting on Sunday as well. So it'll be a very busy weekend for all of us here at Joy, but an important one. Yeah. But particularly in the role of CEO, playing a part in all those moments is my job. That's what I need to do. So, so does that give you a bit of a feel for?
Quite an amazing overview. Like, like one interesting thing to go back to when you were speaking about grants. I was kind of working on a story actually earlier this year in conjunction with the Channel that does a lot of really good kind of research work into a whole variety of progressive issues. And as part of that work, they'd released a report, and I think the report actually was released last year. But I was kind of unpacking that with one of the leaders from that organisation. organisation. And as a proportion, I'm going to get the exact figures perhaps a little bit wrong here, but in terms of when you look at all the grants from local government, state government and the federal government,
yeah,
the LGBTIQ plus community gets something like 0.4% of all the money that gets allocated through all these different kinds of grants. Like, it can seem like when you've got, say, a big project like the Pride Centre, or when there are these announcements around, and you know, I think the Andrews government has been pretty good in terms of allocating funds to our community. But overall, when you look at the big picture, our community actually, like, does not get very, very much money at all from grants. And a lot of that is, I think, when I was speaking to Georgia from the project, is because we just don't have the resources to actually apply for grants. Like, we're competing with, often it might be big religious organisations or big community organisations or big established NGOs.
Yeah.
And a lot of the smaller LGBTIQ plus organisations just do not have the time and resources to actually apply for those grants. And so we kind of, for that acronym makes up, you know, depending on how you estimate it, 12 to 15% of
correct.
The population.
Yeah, yeah.
And we really do not get very much support through a lot of those grants often.
I don't know the actual quantification, you know, exactly what percentage we get, Toby, but I'm not surprised. I'm really not surprised that we're underrepresented in funding, you know, in the recipient of funding. What I would say that I'm observing of late is it's interesting to see the corporate sector stepping into that funding through their own pride and diversity programs. Now, in one space, that's great, but in the other side of that, I'm with you. Often small not-for-profit or for-purpose organisations don't actually have the resourcing to be able to reach out and put together really good funding applications. It's incredibly time-consuming, as you know. And not only that, you know, most not-for-profits need that sophistication, I guess, skill set to understand that when you go for grants, grants cost money to administer. So you have to word and budget your grant application very wisely, because there is time and effort in administering a grant, in, you know, managing the finances, and every project actually requires management time, and that's the reality of it. And a lot of, you know, small not-for-profits may not have had that sort of experience, and so often getting grants is not helpful unless, you know, that sort of that thinking happens. So yeah, look, there's a lot of great reasons as to why we are underrepresented in the funding. My background is business, so that's the reason I entered the not-for-profit sector, was to bring that business know-how into things such as funding applications and, you know, how to secure great programs with a capital P, such as community radio and you know, and whatnot. So it's something I'm very passionate about, and it's exactly what I'm working on right now, Joy.
Well, Ange, thank you so much for taking time out of, as we've established, your ridiculously busy calendar to unpack some of those things with the Informer. And as you were saying, if you are a Joy member, you come along to our AGM this Sunday. It's at RMIT, I believe.
Yes,
and, yeah,
it is.
You know, you can participate in some of the decision making that goes into helping to shape Joy Future. And of course, get on board and support Joy Nation.
Absolutely. Go to chuffed.org and search up Joy Nation, but there's actually a link on our website as well, so you can go to the Joy website. But what I'd really ask is please share it amongst your social media networks, because the more we get the word out there that we need support, the more support we'll get, and it's quite easy to share, so, and keep sharing it.
Yeah, and talk to people about it too.
Yes.
Like, sharing absolutely on social media, but word of mouth and literally having that conversation with mates or with other people actually makes such a huge difference.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
You know, it's so important. Ange, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure, Toby.
That was Joy CEO Ange Barry speaking ahead of Joy's annual general meeting this Sunday. If you would like to support Joy Nation, you can donate at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.